Life is filled with trials and challenges, especially nowadays, with so many problems that past generations never even imagined. So it's a great thing that in the summer we sort of slow down and relax a bit and take time to celebrate the good and important things in life. So for example, we celebrate our beloved dead on Memorial Day. We celebrate the dignity of work on Labor Day, the gift of liberty on July the 4th, and the gift of motherhood on Mother's Day. And of course, today, we celebrate fatherhood on Father's Day. Fatherhood truly is good and absolutely essential to the well-being of society. But there are a lot of people today who forget this. And this forgetfulness is the cause of many of the problems that I mentioned before. I hope you are familiar with some of the statistics. 63% of youth suicides, 90% of homeless and runaway children, 71% of all high school dropouts, all come from fatherless homes. And I could go on and on with statistics like that. Fatherhood is important. Good fathers are critical and essential, and bad fathers are a disaster. Scripture tells us that in the beginning, God created mankind in His own image and likeness as male and female, telling them to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, in God's plan for the happiness of mankind, the first thing necessary is marriage, and the second springs from it, parenthood. Because you see, love is the source of true happiness. And marriage and parenthood are the school of love, where human beings are supposed to naturally learn to love God and to love each other. So that when marriage and parenthood are messed up, families and societies are in trouble. Now, of course, parenthood is a two-sided coin. On the one side, motherhood, and on the other, fatherhood. Both of these are equally important in the eyes of God and for the good of man. But sometimes the importance of fatherhood is forgotten, and many people seem to think that it's actually unimportant. I mentioned some of the results earlier. We see also today 33% of all children are living in fatherless homes. 40% of all children are born outside of marriage. And fathers drift away slowly and slowly, but surely and surely, from the family, one way or the other. But that is not how families and societies are meant to flourish, and it promises the destruction of both. In today's gospel, Jesus twice compares the kingdom of God to the seed of a plant. Some today say that a fatherhood's role is simply to plant the seed of the child and then, more or less, go away. But fatherhood is much more than that. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus uses another plant allusion. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." But then he quickly adds, "And my Father is the vine dresser." The vine dresser doesn't simply plant the seed and leave. He remains to care for it, to help it become a full-grown and fruitful plant. Where there is a seed planted, a true father, creating the image of God the Father, remains and feeds and waters his children. First, in a literal sense, he puts food on the table. But a good father also feeds and waters them by seeing that his children get a good education, both formally and informally, in practical matters like hygiene and manners, in secular matters like math and science and history, and in spiritual matters, teaching the truth about God. For a Catholic father, this means taking responsibility personally for teaching them the truths and practices of the Catholic faith, as well as supplementing that by, if possible, sending them to Catholic schools, or at least to CCD from K through 12, or homeschooling them with a solid Catholic curriculum. And above all, it means watering them with the water of baptism and feeding them regularly with the bread of life. What plant or what child would survive, much less flourish, without eating food, not just once in a while, but every day? What child would survive, much less flourish spiritually and morally, without eating the bread of life, not just once in a while, but at least every single Sunday? What kind of father would let his child starve to death, either physically or spiritually? And if a true father protects his children, a vine dresser might build a fence around his plants, or cover them to protect them from the frost, or hunt down the varmints that try to eat them. A good father tries to provide a safe home for his family and carefully watches who his children's friends are. He doesn't let his children play in a busy street or stay out late at night unsupervised. And he's careful who he trusts to supervise his children, never trusting them to anyone that would in any way corrupt or endanger them. And above all, he protects his children from moral or spiritual danger of any kind. He's not afraid to shield his daughter from boys who won't respect their virtue, and his son never does a sleepover with his buddies on a Sunday night or on a Sunday if it means that he won't be going to Mass. God the Father, the vine dresser, also prunes away the dying or dead branches. Likewise, a good father, a true father, isn't afraid of pruning the sickly or deadly things from his children's lives. If they develop friendships with people who behave badly or sinfully, a good father is not afraid to prune those friends out of their lives. If their children start to develop bad habits, good fathers aren't afraid to discipline them. If they don't do their homework, a true father doesn't hesitate to turn off the TV until they do so. If they speak or dress immodestly, a good father isn't afraid to set them straight. Of course, all these things always with love, avoiding bitterness, sometimes with tenderness, but always, always with strength. And always remembering St. Paul's simple instruction, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, some fathers are overwhelmed by all this. They feel like the man in today's gospel who plants the seed and then wakes up one day and it's all grown, as Jesus says, he knows not how. Some fathers feel that they know not how to raise kids, so they leave it to someone else, to their wives, to the teachers, or to some other expert. Now, it's true that when it comes to kids, moms do some things better than dads, but not everything. For example, a mom might think that a dress looks really pretty on her daughter. But a good father knows that boys won't be thinking that it's just really pretty. A mom may say to her son, "Now you be a gentleman on your date," but a good dad can show his son how to be a gentleman, how to respect a woman, especially her dignity and her virtue, by the way he treats all women, but especially his wife. And besides all the male and female differences, there are just a lot of simple things that a particular dad, for some reason, might do better or understand better than a particular mom. Maybe he's better at math, and she's better at science, and maybe he's more patient, and maybe she's, you know, more excitable, whatever. Different fathers will do things better than different moms. And it's true that teachers are better at teaching some things than dads. But a true father makes sure that they don't stray from their area of expertise. And believe me, parents, this happens. Parents tell me that this happens all the time. Is your daughter's biology teacher really teaching biology, or is he teaching sexual morality? Is your son's history teacher really teaching historical facts, or is he teaching ideological doctrine, reinvented history? And this isn't just limited to public schools. Sadly, it can happen in Catholic schools as well. A good father realizes that much of the corruption in our society is flourishing because of the seeds planted in school. A few seeds of immorality here, a few seeds of radical ideology there, here a seed of heresy, there a seed of anti-Catholic bigotry. And then one day you wake up and you wonder why your children don't share any of your values and reject your Catholic faith. Again, he knows not how. A good father does not abandon his responsibility to so-called experts. Now, some of you women might be saying, well, what about me? Ladies, of course, a lot of this applies to mothers as well. But let it also remind you to help your husbands and all the men in your life to be good fathers, and especially to support them and to praise them when they're trying to be good fathers. And some of you men may say, well, that's all fine and good, but my children are all grown up. Yes, but you can apply this to being a good grandfather and to helping your grown son to be a better father himself. Or maybe you're a man without children. But are you an uncle? My nieces and nephews treat me as a second father because I try to look after them like a second father. Or maybe you're a teacher or a coach or a priest. Or you work in some field that affects fathers and their children. Then all this applies to you as well. Your fatherhood comes out in that. Then some of you fathers might agree with everything I've been saying here, but you're in the military and often you have no choice but to be away from your family, sometimes for months or longer. Of course, when you have to go away, you have to rely on others, especially your wives, to do much of the feeding and protecting and the pruning. But even then, as you know even better than I do, you still have to do your best to provide whatever support you can to your wives. Stay in contact with your kids as best you can and remind them that you love them, but also remind them of your expectations of them, especially that they respect and obey their mother and that they love and serve Jesus and His church. And make sure you pray for them. And make sure that they know you're praying for them. And remember, while we look to God the Father as the source of all true fatherhood, Jesus also tells us, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so you that have to go away and for times and serve our country, by your imitation of Jesus who laid down his life for his friends, your example of laying down your life for your children and for all of us is an incredible act of fatherly love. An heroic act to truly protect your children from real evil. So make sure they understand that. That you do it out of love for them. Truly sacrificing like Jesus. Or maybe you're a member of one of those families where things are not as I described. Maybe there was no father or is no father in your home. Or maybe when you grew up you had less than a perfect father. There are lots of reasons that these things happen. Sometimes things that just are beyond anybody's control, or they seem to be. But I'm sure everyone would agree that if they could change things, they would make things more like the way I've described than maybe the bad situations they've had or they have now. And just because things aren't the way they should be, it doesn't mean that God can't or won't find some way to help you to make it through those difficult times or to overcome the past. He will if you let Him. Because you see, He is the true Father of all of us. He is the perfect Father of all of us. He is the one who loves us even if our Father might let us down. He is always there loving us just the way we need Him to. You do your best to cope and then trust in God and He will be there for you. And finally, fathers, let me be clear that I am not saying any of this to pick on you. It's tough to be a father. It's hard enough to be a spiritual father, but to be a dad of a family nowadays is incredibly difficult. Believe me, sometimes when I talk to dads, I turn away and say, thank God for celibacy. So many of you are great fathers, are trying the very best you can to be a great father. We thank you and we pray that God bless you. All this that I've said today is to remind you and to encourage you to always strive with God's grace to be the best, very best father you can be. And to emphasize how important that is and how important you are. Our world is full of lots of problems, many of which our grandparents never even dreamed of. But that's because our grandparents would have never tolerated the diminishment of fatherhood that we have. Today, let us all celebrate fatherhood and praise its goodness and importance and thank God for it. And as we continue with this Holy Mass, the mystery which flows from the perfect love between God the Father and God the Son, let us pray that by the grace of this sacrament, we may always honor and love our fathers as we should, and that our fathers may always be the good and true fathers we so desperately need them to be. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.